What to do in the face of a devastating medical diagnosis. Thanks for being with us on my podcast. I'm Christine Devine. My guest stepped up to not only face MS head on, but to be a national voice for others with the diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. Her leadership has brought the medical community together to share trials and errors, medications and breakthroughs. She is from Hollywood movie royalty, and she taps those celebrities for their contribution and empowerment to help fund the Center Without Walls. I welcome here to my work home, Olympic and Bundy here in West LA, one of my true heroes, which you are, Nancy Davis, founder of Race to Erase MS. Oh,
yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
I love that you're here and get up to an hour to talk about all the things you've been doing for how many years now?
This is our 26th Race to Erase MS coming up.
Okay, we've got a lot to talk about. And already she sat down and said, we have this new medication. So new things are always happening.
You know what? It's an exciting time in multiple sclerosis because every year there's something new to report. And it's amazing that MS used to be the most unpopular disease with little hope. Mm-hmm. When I was first diagnosed some 27 years ago, I was told to go home and go to bed and that I would never walk again. And life as I knew it was over. And there was very little hope. And I found that so frustrating. I needed to live my life. I was a young mom. I had three children. And I could not take that go-to-bed thing. And you'll sit in bed every day and your children will take care of you. And I felt horrible. I was so lucky that I could go get second opinions at some of the greatest centers around the country. I thought if I went to enough doctors, somebody would tell me I didn't have this thing called MS.
That you didn't have it at all. You're hoping
No, I was living in that denial situation. Sure. And I thought, you go to enough doctors, someone will tell you that. Yeah. However, that didn't happen. But I did listen to the research they were doing at all the centers. And it fascinated me that the best of the best doctors, this is from Harvard, from Yale, the Cleveland Clinic, UCLA, USC, UC San Francisco, they were all doing pretty much identical research, were convinced that they were the only one doing it and that this was going to be the cure. And when I went from center to center waiting to get this great diagnosis that I didn't have MS and listening to what they were doing, I thought, they've got a really big problem here. They need to all communicate, work as a team, and not duplicate
and
research.
Yeah.
And if the best of the best could all do that and channel this money in very, very different ways, maybe we'll find a cure quicker. So I thought, if we get seven centers together, we're going to find a cure seven times quicker.
So that's what she's doing. I've had the privilege to come to your home to be part of some of the planning for one of your big fundraisers. And we hear from these doctors who come in, and each time, every year, I love it because they're always coming to us with something new. We've tried this, we've tried that, we've had progress here, progress there. So I'd like to also welcome one of your doctors, Rhonda Vaskul. Doctor, thanks for coming in here. And you are at where normally?
I'm at UCLA, so I've been there for 24 years.
And is MS your specialty?
Absolutely. That's all I do.
That's all you do.
Wouldn't say I love this disease, but I'm committed to beating it.
Well, I love that. I love that. Nancy knows my story. It's a little bit of a long story. My sister's husband, his mother had MS. And I just think of him growing up as a little boy with a mother with MS. She was confined to a wheelchair. But what I loved about Tova is she had the biggest smile on the planet. She was truly the most joyous person I ever knew and offered me words of wisdom when I needed it once. And I just love this woman, yet it pained me so much to see her with MS. And I always wish that she had known you, Nancy, early on to hear some of your breakthroughs and to connect with you and what you're doing.
Oh, I wish I'd known her too and could have helped her. But I'm really so grateful for you doing this tonight, but also for all the years that you have worked on Race to Erase MS. You come to those meetings with great ideas. You come up with auction items and getting the word out to so many people. And that is so valuable. You have no idea how much so. I'm so grateful.
It's so funny. I used to be a Barbie collector of sorts, and I collected a Barbie in a bridal gown. And I was looking at my Barbie collection the other day saying, where is my Barbie with the bridal gown? I remember I donated it to you for a silent auction.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any more of those?
No. I just might. I just might.
We might need some more Barbie dolls.
Yeah, they're kind of a hit. They're kind of fun. Okay, so, Doctor, we are so grateful that you are here. How did you meet Nancy?
Well, we both live in Los Angeles, and I'm at UCLA, and of course, I live near Beverly Hills and in the near vicinity, and so we have common acquaintances, common patients. I know all of the other sites, of course. She's developed such a strong center because she's brought together truly the best in MS. And I agree completely with what she said that, you know, it's more than the gala, actually. She has us together for an entire day to discuss our research in an informal way, in a friendly way, where we can really share and we feel open and we can collaborate together as opposed to, you know, having to wait till things are published. And so I think she's right on when she says, you know, bringing the best together and having them communicate openly and freely so that we can just become exponential in what we discover by sharing with each other.
Well, also, I love that you have this public forum, Nancy, and I want to talk about that early on in this Olympic and Bundy podcast because the gala can be limited to those who can come to the gala, who fundraise and are donors to the gala, but the next day is such a special day for the public to come.
Yeah,
go ahead. Take
great.
It away.
It's great. On May 10th, we will have the Race to Race MS. It was at the Hilton Hotel, and it's going to be fabulous and wonderful. We're honoring Selma Blair. We're honoring the Hausman family. We have Flo Rida. We have Flo Rida. We have Aloe Black. We have an amazing fashion show from Alice and Olivia. They are amazing. We have a lot of stuff going on. My daughters are doing a dance, too, by the way.
I love it. It's a family affair for you.
It has
Your daughters
to be.
Are there every year.
My daughters work on this every year with me, and this is part of their night as much as it is mine. So then the doctors and everybody will be there that night. We'll introduce the doctors. We'll talk a bit about MS. But the next day is the nuts and bolts of why we do what we do. And for anybody who has MS, a loved one with MS, or just wants to learn the latest in the science, please come on May 11th at 10 o'clock to the Beverly Hilton Hotel. You will be so blown away and so fascinated by these brilliant doctors and what they have to say. It is really earth-shattering. It's such an amazing time in research and so encouraging. And even some of these findings are going to help other diseases beyond MS.
Well, I love that, first off, that we're talking about the whole Hollywood part of it because, let me just keep it real here, daughter of a billionaire, let me just keep it real, oil tycoon, and you know, a former owner of 20th Century Fox, Marvin Davis, and your beautiful mom, Barbara. I love that you have used whatever platform you have to do this because you could have taken your diagnosis and gone to your doctors and dealt with your situation at home behind closed doors, but you didn't.
But I couldn't.
Yeah, I love that you stepped up.
I couldn't. It wasn't in my blood. I think I came from a family that was really big on charity. If you can give back and you can do something, you get the greatest feeling inside of you. It releases whatever those endorphins you talk about. It's the highest of highs. And I'd always worked on diabetes. My little sister was a juvenile diabetic. When I was diagnosed with MS, it took about 2 days and decided I have to start doing MS because this is my new mission. And
it's amazing.
I couldn't live with myself if I didn't. I meet people every day, and I get calls. I see people. I go to different places, and I genuinely am so worried for every last person I talk to if they're not being taken care of. It really bothers me, and it's so rewarding to see people come to this conference that's going to be on May 11th, year after year. Some of them, at one point, were in a wheelchair. They couldn't walk at all, and now to see a lot of them, they're going up, and they're complaining about their medicines making them tired or something. I'm like, wow, what a great difference to just see this evolution of these people, how all these medications that we have come up with, and not every medicine have we come up with, but just the whole general MS practice, to look how it is changing the world. So if you are diagnosed today with MS versus when I was diagnosed 27 years ago, there are so many options. There is so much hope, and there is the real feeling that there will be a cure for multiple sclerosis. It's not a joke.
My introduction to MS was, like I said, my brother-in-law's mother, so I thought of it being more of an older person's illness. But, doctor, I'm reading on the notes here that the average diagnosis is early 30s.
Absolutely. It's people that are in the prime of their life. They're starting their careers. They have families, and they're usually otherwise healthy. They have a lot going on, and all of a sudden they just get hit with this diagnosis. It's just such a shock. And one thing I wanted, and of course it affects women 3 times more often than men. On top of that, the incidence is increasing worldwide. So it's quite a shock to, society in general and to these people particularly. I do want to call out what Nancy was saying. I see a lot of patients, of course, that have MS. And I think it's just tremendous when you can see people who are diagnosed with a bad disease and the way they react to it. And I just, my hat's off, because I don't know if I would have it in me to, you know, people say, why me? And some people get bitter and they withdraw, but other people just say, I'm going to turn this into something positive. I'm so inspired and amazed when people can turn something bad into something good. And it just comes from within to react in that way, which I think is just so fantastic.
I think she's talking about you, Nancy, because...
Wow. Well, of course I am.
Yeah.
thank you. That's very sweet.
I wonder, too, how I would react to a diagnosis. Yeah. And I did help a friend through another different diagnosis, and she was in her 30s. And we ended up doing a little documentary on it. For her to, you know, own what she was going through, to be a voice for others. But Nancy, let's go back to that day and time. Like you said, you were a young mother. You get this diagnosis. When did you know something was different in your body?
I had a ski accident and woke up 3 weeks later, and all of a sudden I started losing the feeling in my fingertips of my right hand, then my whole hand, and 3 days later the fingertips of my left hand, then my whole hand, then my eyesight, and like every 3 days some sensation was being lost. I went to a doctor, and I had an MRI, and I thought it had to do with, I had a knee brace on my knee, and I thought maybe it was hitting a nerve or something. And I thought it was strange that the orthopedic doctor wanted me to go to a neurologist, because I'm like, well, yeah, there they are, passing the buck. Like it had nothing to do with a neurologist. Did not make any sense. I went in that day and age. It took a long time to have an MRI. Now it doesn't. I think it was about 7 hours worth of MRIs back then. And I was sitting in this thing, and I had the flu, and I'm sitting there, and they said, stop shaking and all this. And then I had some really great girlfriends with me that day, and they all had this very sort of worried look. And I was this kind of happy-go-lucky person. I never had a disease. I was not going to ever have one. And it didn't fit into my job description.
We all say that, right?
Right.
Yes, not
and
me.
So the next day I went to the doctor, and he said, you're so lucky. He was pointing to all these lesions on my brain and my spinal column. He goes, oh, but you're so lucky. I'm like, lucky? Doesn't sound lucky to me. He goes, you don't have a brain tumor. I'm like, I guess when you put it that way, yeah, I guess you're right. But then he said, you okay. have a disease called multiple sclerosis. And oh, my God, my world just fell to pieces at that moment. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm this carefree person who's a mom, and I've got to live my life. I've got to take care of these kids. And I have Spielkes. I always have to be doing something. I'm just always busy. And it just knocked me out. And I was devastated. And, but then I thought, you know, I'm not good at staying depressed, and, you know, I have to do something. So I thought if I go get another opinion, that'll help. The next day I went actually to UCLA. And I saw a doctor there who is now retired, but he's wonderful. And he gave me a lot more hope, which was great. He said, I do have MS, but he gave me hope. I didn't get the same prognosis. And then 2 days later, I went to National Institute of Health, and I saw Dr.
You went everywhere.
I went to Dr. Henry McFarland, who became the head of our scientific advisory board for many years. I went to Harvard. I went all over the place because I was in that denial thing. I guess I did have it. But I just figured if we could put the best and the brightest together, we're going to find a cure, and I'm going to be okay.
What I love about your event, the gala, is when I do see your family. Your husband is there, your older sons are there, your young daughters are there, and I think that it teaches compassion amongst our young people to be there for others, and you don't always know somebody's situation when you see them or what they're going through. I love that aspect of it.
You don't. And a lot of people say to me, well, what does MS look like? What does a person with MS look like? Mm-hmm. Well, from an MRI, you might see one thing, but on the outside, you really don't know. And a lot of people are suffering in silence. And it's very sad. A lot of people can't and don't know how to get the right advice to go to the right doctor, get on the right medications. And I encourage everybody to go whatever it takes. And if your insurance company's not covering something, fight with them. Mm-hmm. Because everybody has the right, no matter how much money you do or do not have, you have the right to be taken care of.
Well, when I go to your meetings, I just see my brother-in-law in the eyes of other people who are... Well, he was a caregiver as a young kid for his mother.
And that's really hard.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
This doesn't just affect the person that has it. It's a family disease.
Yeah, and then doctor, too, I see the young people who've been perhaps newly diagnosed coming to the meeting. And I just think Nancy must be just such a voice of wisdom and hope and just a kind of a security blanket when they see someone like Nancy who's lived with this for a long time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think to stay forward thinking and always looking how things can be better in spite of having a disease is just, I think actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. And so for her daughters and also for young people with MS, I think that, you know, people can say a lot of things, but when they see how people live and that they're really working for others and they're working to help with the disease, it just speaks volumes.
So the psychology of it has to be a big part of it, Doctor?
I think the psychology is very difficult because MS is so unpredictable. We can't even predict within families if you're going to look or not look like a family member. If they both happen to have MS, they could look very different from each other. It's also unpredictable in the sense that relapses come and go. Sometimes people have a relapse once every year or two. Some have once every 10 years. And then there's also two phases of it. There's an early relapsing phase where they get a symptom that's very bad, but then it improves. And then there's the late phase where the symptoms don't improve anymore. So it's a very complicated disease. It's hard to predict in the short term and the long term how people are going to do. Now, what does that feed into? It feeds into worry, uncertainty, even planning vacations. Do I have to take my medicine? Will I have a relapse? Women worry about having babies and children and pregnancy. And unfortunately, we've studied that a lot. Pregnancy is very good for MS. It reduces relapses when people are pregnant. Afterwards, though, they can have a postpartum relapse.
And then you also have a lot of kids to take care of the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's a plus. We all know that we all know that's a plus.
I know. But if you keep pregnant forever, it's...
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, but we think we found a drug that confers that, you know, the benefit of pregnancy. And we've done it now in three clinical trials, which is extremely exciting. And so we learn from everything. We learn about why, you know, females are more susceptible. We learn about how pregnancy is helpful. And it's, again, by getting, you know, these physicians at universities who I think are very... top-notch and also very caring and working with patients to listen to them, what they say about their disease, and it means a lot because they know what it's like.
We have seven hospitals around the country, and our newest one that we just brought back in is UCLA. So this is why she's here tonight, too. So we're really excited to be working with UCLA also.
I want to talk about your different hospitals. Go ahead and list them off.
We have Brigham and Women at Harvard. Mm-hmm. We have Yale, we have USC, UC San Francisco, Johns Hopkins, the
best
Oregon Health
the
Science
best.
University. They're brilliant, but they all are very into a different aspect of it. And so it's nice that they can work as a team and not sort of overlap and duplicate. And the whole philosophy is that they should all communicate and never duplicate. And that's a quicker way to finding a cure.
Did we say Cedars-Sinai as well?
Yes, Cedars-Sinai. I hope I didn't forget. But anyway, Cedars-Sinai, and they're doing a bit of a different type of study altogether with MRIs and so forth. And it's the one diagnostic tool for MS, and they do something completely different.
So that's called Center Without Walls, this coming together. Your organization is called Race to Erase MS. Doctor, tell me about your works with the center.
Right. So we are extremely excited to be with the center because of the outstanding people that are there. And what we think that UCLA brings, or what I know we bring, is, first of all, I'm a leader in the world of sex differences in all across diseases. We just had an editorial in Nature on April 9th, and I'm president of the Organization for the Study of Sex Differences. So we're going to bring that ability to look at sex hormones and sex chromosomes to say, why does pregnancy make the disease better? Why are females more susceptible? We've shown sex chromosomes, XX, as compared to XY, leads to susceptibility. But what's also interesting in MS is that while women get it more often, men do worse. And why is that?
Yeah, they really do. Why is that?
It's because we have evidence that testosterone, high levels of testosterone in young men are protective. And then as it wanes with the slow andropause that occurs in men, that they are losing that protection. And so it's a really interesting interplay between sex hormones and sex chromosomes. And so the view actually of the National Institutes of Health, which we have played a very large part of, they've now established that every grant to the NIH must include not just studying male mice, but also females, not just studying men, but also studying women, because women have to be studied. You can't assume what's going on in men is necessarily the same thing exactly as women, and those differences can lead to new treatments. The main thing, though, I will say that UCLA also brings is UCLA is so strong in neuroscience. If you'll go down Westwood and drive onto the campus, you'll see in the medical part of UCLA, there are literally six buildings dedicated to the brain, neuroscience. And what other... And that's what we're going to bring to your center, Nancy, is this amazing neuroscience, because the drugs in MS are all targeting the immune system, which is extremely important. That's why so much progress has been made, and it's so exciting. But now to say, let's also develop additional drugs that target the brain. It's going to be really great for improving disabilities. And so we're very excited to bring this expertise of the brain into this center.
So Nancy, let's talk about when you were first diagnosed and how far it's come along with the medications and treating MS. What do you see today?
When I was diagnosed, I was told to just go home and go to bed. You could take steroids for certain attacks. However, diabetes runs in my family, and there's also a big propensity to becoming diabetic if you take steroids. So I never took steroids. I was given nothing. I went to a homeopathic doctor. And it helped me magically. It really did. Our traditional doctors don't necessarily agree with the homeopathic things, but there was no other choices. I had nothing to lose. So I went to this amazing homeopathic doctor who'd helped my son who had ear infections all the time. And anyway, he's an amazing doctor, and he's helped me. So I've done that. I've not been on the medications, which is kind of crazy. People don't believe that I have not, but I have not. For much of my first part of having MS, there was no drug that existed.
So you haven't needed any of the current medications?
No, but if I did, I know exactly what I would go on. I would put myself on something immediately, but I'm doing really well now, knock on all kinds of wood.
To what do you credit that?
I don't have time. No, I don't know. I'm probably the luckiest person living with multiple sclerosis, that's for sure. In the beginning, I had a lot of attacks. A lot of different things, and I had to learn to deal with it a very, very different way. And there's not one size fits all with multiple sclerosis. There's a lot of, it takes different paths. People, different parts of your body are affected depending where the demyelinating is happening. It can affect so many different things in anybody. I don't think any two people have the same case of MS, kind of like a snowflake. They're never the same. So I had very specific types of attacks, and then at some point, like 5 years into it, they started changing dramatically. And I went to homeopathic doctors, and it helped me get through that point.
Well, let me ask you, do you have a homeopathic wing of your center? Or
well,
is there...
our doctors at the Oregon Health Science University, they do a lot more of the homeopathic studies. They really do. And they actually just came up with something this past week that was reported in one of the amazing magazines about a synthetic molecule that they feel is helping remyelinate, which nothing has ever been really proven
that
to
means
remyelinate.
What?
When you have multiple sclerosis, you have many scars. So multiple sclerosis stands
for
many scars. So they form on your brain and your spinal column, and very much like a telephone wire, it has a little plastic coating over it. Within our brain, little bits of that are eaten away. Those are multiple and sclerosis. There's many little scars are eaten away. So that's the myelin sheath. The idea, if you've had very severe multiple sclerosis, you've had a lot of demyelination, and sometimes messages you're sending from your brain to other parts of your body aren't getting through. You could be numb. You could have terrible pain. There's a lot of different things that could happen. So there's never been anything really proven to remyelinate. However, this study, it's in mice, and it was a pretty ingenious study, and they're going to start doing it in people very soon. So it's a very exciting thing.
Doctor, is that the norm that patients would not need a medication, or
well,
is it,
I think
just vary
as
so
I
much?
Said, MS varies so much, as Nancy was saying, from patient to patient, and I think that there are. I actually am not against homeopathic necessarily, because I think there are things like exercise that are definitely good for MS. I think the things Nancy does cognitively with all of her planning is just unbelievable. So you can imagine just this constant cognitive practice. And then, so there are things that are very valuable. The homeopathic part, too, I think it feeds into the fact that we're studying sex hormones and their benefits. And the drug at Oregon was based, I believe, on the thyroid hormone. So it's taking some of these natural things in the body and saying, hey, there's a basis for this. Some of them are hormones and some of them are not. And maybe we can just accentuate these things to make the disease better. So we actually have a new paper coming out in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. It's going to come out on Monday. And UCLA is going to have a press release. So it's very exciting.
Oh, wow.
And we found that it's kind of like the thyroid hormone story with the novel agonist. So what we did is we looked at these cells that make this myelin, and we looked at it in MS, and then we went to the mouse model, and we showed that they were expressing different levels of cholesterol, and cholesterol in the brain is necessary to make myelin and to repair. So what we showed was that there was an estrogen that
triggers the myelin to be made, and that causes repair, remyelination, and it causes repair. The really cool thing about it, though, if you want to know, going back to the physiologic state or the homeopathic state, is that it looks like what this estrogen is doing is it's mimicking what happens to the fetus when it's make when it's making brain, during brain development, because the mother has a high level of this estrogen, and the baby's brain during development is making myelin, it's making synapses, it's making axons and neurons. And so sure enough, it makes sense that if you want to repair a damaged brain, your body would recapitulate, and you treat with an estrogen of pregnancy, and it would recapitulate what's happening in the baby's brain during development. So it's pretty, well, I think this homeopathic is.
Yeah, but also with my MS, and this is for everybody with MS, as soon as I was diagnosed, I led a very healthy, healthy life. I started exercising a lot, avoiding the heat. You have to be so careful when you have MS. You can't have like an herbal wrap or something like that, something that sends your body temperature over 100 degrees. I never smoke. I'm never on anyone who smokes. I never drink alcohol. I never take drugs. I do all the things that are really good for my system. I take so many vitamins every day. Vitamin D is one of the most important things. Most everybody that's diagnosed with MS is very vitamin D deficient, which means, I mean, we don't go outside as much anymore. We don't get natural sunlight, so our bodies are missing that, but it's a really big factor in MS. So I take 5,000 milligrams a day of vitamin D.
Even in California.
But you're not outside that much.
Look at right now. Everybody's at their computer, they're working, they're doing podcasts, they're doing TV shows. There's not a whole lot of sunlight in here right now, but it's kind of the lifestyle that we all choose. And we put a lot of sunscreen on when we go outside too, and so all of a sudden that vitamin D is not absorbing in your body either. So it's really important to get vitamin D from somewhere, and everybody should just have a blood test and see how much vitamin D they have. And I bet you a lot of people will find out that they're very deficient. It's really important. And they feel some people's MS has been totally, you know, put at bay because they started taking vitamin D.
Wow. Well, I think you bring up a great component of all this for really all of us, which is taking care of ourselves. And that means making time for fitness. I was telling you earlier, I bought a bicycle and keep it here at work and lunch break. And I get that vitamin D. I'm riding that bicycle out.
Yeah,
my
get you a little vitamin D dose here. It's important to take. I take a lot of vitamins. And my homeopathic doctor makes sure that they're all correct and they all work together. But I think it's one of the things that's kept me very energetic. And I have to have a lot of energy. And I just do.
And the diet as well, I'm sure, is a big part of it.
And also, you know, UCSF, Emmanuel Waban, I think, has been working, in your center, has been working on smoking. Smoking is quite bad, not just for the usual things we think of, but it's even shown to be bad for MS. So a lot of these things, the good and the bad.
I mean, all those obvious things that you know are bad are exceptionally bad if you have multiple sclerosis or any other autoimmune disease. You just have to know better. You don't need to start smoking. You don't need to start drinking a lot. You need to start taking a lot of drugs. If you have a diagnosis like this, I mean, you're playing Russian roulette by not taking the best care of yourself that you can.
What about, you know, what we put in our bodies when it comes to eating? And this is, you know, all of us are trying to lead a healthier lifestyle, but with MS, how does that change what you put on your plate?
I think chocolate's very important. No.
Go on. No. All right.
I have to be honest. My biggest drawback, the biggest thing I do wrong is I love chocolate, especially late at night in bed. I don't know why, but I think it's healthy. Look, I'm far from perfect, but you don't have a lot of fried foods, not a lot of caffeine. All those kind of things are really not good for you.
So, there's been a lot written about diet and MS, and I agree with Nancy that I think it needs to be healthy, and I think we know what healthy is, and we know what healthy isn't, and that's for a lot of reasons. Part of it is just your cardiovascular risk for atherosclerosis and circulation, so you need a healthy diet. But I will also say, as somebody who I'm actually very allergic, I've been allergic to wheat and eggs my entire life. I've never even had it, and so I take it very seriously when people are told to take something out of their diet that is enjoyable. And I think unless there's been a trial and it's proven that, you know, this is going to make your MS worse, I don't think we should take away things that people enjoy, like chocolate or something else, you know. So I would just say healthy diet, but I wouldn't go crazy about this.
Have pleasure.
Exactly.
You got to have fun.
They've got MS. I mean, why take away more than You have to, right?
I agree with you, doctor.
On with the chocolate.
Okay, so your color scheme is orange.
Orange.
How did you pick orange?
I looked at orange, and I thought we came up with this orange you happy to erase MS tagline. I think orange, it's like vitamin C, which you need when you have MS. It's healthy, it's vibrant, it's happy, and I just feel like that was a really important color for us to have. And so for the month of May, we do a campaign called Orange You Happy to Erase MS. We have a special T-shirt that we're selling, and all the proceeds will benefit MS. And a lot of other different companies have given us items. Some are orange, some are not orange, but I do a jewel line on Evine.
See, you are really nonstop.
Yeah.
You really are with this.
I sell jewelry on Evine, yeah. And part of that also benefits Race to Erase MS. Mm-hmm. There's a company called Alex and Ani. They make these amazing bracelets. First, it was a cupcake bracelet, and they gave us 20% of all the proceeds, which ended up totaling about $1.2 million for our charity, which was pretty amazing.
Really?
Yes, which is great.
Oh, my goodness.
They just came up with a new Peace and Love. I have a company called Peace and Love. That's my whole little motto
in
life.
I love it.
But they have their own beautiful bracelet that they sell in all their stores, and 20% of that Peace and Love bracelet will go to Race to Erase MS.
So you're getting partners on board.
Absolutely. We're doing something with Alice and Olivia. They're doing a fashion show at our event with many celebrities modeling. They do a pair of blue jeans called the Good Jean, and we get a percentage of all the Good Jean that are sold, and they actually fit really well.
Well,
which is important.
I'm on the board of my university, and we were just talking about fundraising, and there's the Day of Giving. And I said, well, why don't we sell something? Because people like to get something. And I think that you offer a lot of ways for people to contribute, whether it's just the flat-out donation,
it's
buying a ticket for the gala, it's purchasing the T-shirt or the jewelry. It allows people to partake in ways that speak to them.
So if you go on to erasems.org and go to shop to erase MS, you will find there's these T-shirts. The brand new T-shirts, they just came today, so we have them.
I'm holding one here.
They're in two colors. They're really cute.
And the material's so soft.
You can sleep in them. They're so soft, and they fit like a girl. The men's ones actually fit like a man, but the girls' ones, they really fit. They're just the right length, or the right like one on your waist. They're very flattering on everybody. They really fit lovely.
So proud. I mean, I
love my T-shirts. A T-shirt's just one of those staples. You have to have a good T-shirt. The design's really pretty, but it's really comfortable. You can sleep in it.
And I hate when they're all thick and scratchy. I like when they're soft.
No,
like yours.
I would never
super
do
soft.
That. I've been making T-shirts for a lot of years, and they have to be comfortable. We have a real reputation to maintain that our T-shirts are really comfortable, so they have to be.
And the jewelry line, where does that fall in line with what you're doing with Race to Erase MS?
Okay, so I love jewelry, and I have a line called Peace and Love Jewelry by Nancy Davis, and I have a special line I sell on Evine, which is a shopping channel. And this past weekend, I was on for 5 hours. And
5 hours?
They actually started filming out of a studio in Los Angeles, and that was kind of a fun weekend. I brought my mom on too, which was really lovely.
Sweet.
And my daughter
Everyone
came and
your
helped.
Mom.
And my friend Brenda Ritchie came on and she helped too one day. My friend Tawny Sanders, so that was really nice. But I design lots of jewelry. I usually have to film out of Minnesota, so they have now a studio in Los Angeles, which is great. You'll have to come on with me one day and help sell jewelry.
It's makes really, it easy, right?
It's fun. But who doesn't love jewelry?
Yeah.
And I design, it's called the Legacy Collection, and I love to have pieces that are really well made. They're going to last forever. And it's so nice that a portion of proceeds is going to Race to Erase MS.
Well, one of the things that we gals do here in LA is we do our benefits, and I've been able to come to your benefits and purchase some of the jewelry. So I have my little heart collection as well. And it is a fun way to, you know, buy something for yourself or for a gift. And that also knowing it's going to such an important cause. And I think of my brother-in-law's mother every time I purchase something, you know, I'm doing it for somebody else.
Right. But I think that we all feel guilty sometimes shopping. But if part of the money is going to a cause, it takes the guilt completely away. So you get to have something great and it helps something. And you know what? It's a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think, Doctor, fundraising is probably one of the hardest things about so much of the research. You need the funds to fund the research. And so this is kind of a neat way to fundraise as well.
You do. And whenever we do this event, we're right now in the thick of it because it's 2 weeks from tomorrow. We're having this huge event at the Hilton. And right now we're dealing with all the stuff. We have a huge auction. We're trying to get all the details down.
I'm a sucker for that live auction, the silent auction.
We have so many great auctions. And I know that you donated something fabulous too.
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's fabulous, but yes.
It's fabulous. You get to be with you, which is pretty spectacular.
Well, you're so kind that you, your organization called me to donate a lunch with me. And last year, I had the best time with a woman who purchased that. We went to the Beverly Hills Hotel. She was so fascinating. So I don't know if she got more out of it or I did, but it was really neat to meet her.
So in a few days, we'll have a bunch of those special items up on Charity Buzz. And there's also one called Charity Stars. And we have a lot of really amazing items. But you buy them and you know part of it goes to the Race to Race MS. And it's, again, the best shopping environment.
Well, because you and your family know so many people, you get really, really amazing items. People stepping up to help you with this. Has that surprised you at all that you have such great support?
You know what? Before I ever started with Raise to Raise MS, and we started having a diabetes charity because my little sister's a juvenile diabetic, I started doing the auctions. And I thought it was so fascinating how you could just come up with these crazy ideas, these items, and you could actually think of them, then you could actually get them, and then you'd sell them, and everybody was so happy. And so every year we have this great meeting, which you've been a part of, and we just sit there and we sort of brainstorm what would be the funnest thing, what is your fantasy, what would you love to do. So I'm always open for new suggestions of what is the greatest, coolest thing, and sometimes it's having lunch with you.
Well, I'm into buying the restaurants, because like maybe it's a super high-end restaurant that you can actually then take somebody else.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of fun, and not feel guilty about spending so much money. So that's a lot of fun. Doctor, are you going to be joining the event? You come
absolutely,
to the event?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. I've been before as a guest. I'm just so
grand,
exciting. And you
isn't
know,
it?
Nobody does a fashion show. I love seeing the fashion show. I love every, and the stars that she gets. It's just really amazing. And you know, you're always struck too by the Los Angeles community is so giving, and the way they come out and over and over, and they're just very give back, and it's quite striking to just be in a room with them, and it just makes everybody feel good.
One thing really special that I love about our Race to Race MS event more than anything, it's not stuffy. Mm-hmm. Everybody,
fun.
Everybody gets up and dances, and we have Flo Rida, which you can't not dance to Flo Rida, and you can't not sing along to Flo Rida. And I remember we had him before, and everybody was on the stage. It was like craziness, and people who you don't ever see acting that crazy, they act fun and crazy. I love it. And we have Aloe Black too, who's just so much fun. I mean, it's upbeat, and it's not black tie. It's dressy, but it's not black tie. So there's just this little thing that's taken off of it, and it's the whole thing is about everybody's been so generous, and you're here to celebrate now, so just have the best time ever. And I love it to be memorable for everybody.
I'm about to sing the Flo Rida song.
Which one?
Low, 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 low.
Yeah, good.
Boots with the fur. Anyway, I don't sing, but you know, living in Los Angeles, I think many of us are asked to give in many ways for many different causes, and it's always fun when it can be a fun time as well, and knowing that it's going to such an important cause really makes for a fun evening. And that's why I think you get such a big turnout, because you make it fun for everybody. And I love that you have the celebrities stepping up, but we should also note too that, you know, I always say we all know somebody with MS, and that includes the world of celebrity as well. And so this year you're honoring and recognizing.
We're honoring Selma Blair. She was diagnosed probably within the last 6-8 months, and she's become very public about it.
She has.
A lot of people with MS don't do that, so I really I have to salute her so much for coming out and really putting a face to it. She's been, you know, quite strong and quite heroic to do what she's doing. It's never been done. And she's really sparked help and so much interest in so many other people who have been suffering in silence and can really relate to what she's gone through. So we are so honored to be able to give her our award and celebrate her that night. And she's had a tough time with MS, but she's going to get through this. And we're happy to honor her, because I think she's a really important, iconic face for people with multiple sclerosis. They relate to her. And she's just so brave. She really is.
Well, when I saw her on the red carpet in her gown, and I believe she had a cane, am I right?
Right.
I knew she would be touching base with you, because you are the go-to person. And I'm sure that you are such a voice of support for her to see what you do. And I agree with you. For her to step up and to be on that stage and to say, this is my reality, and this is how I'm going forward, and this is what it's like. And I can imagine somebody who's in another part of the country seeing this thinking, well, if she can do it, I can put on a dress. I can step out.
Absolutely.
I can talk about it.
I think so. She's a single mom. She's doing everything to get through life and be a mom. And she's an actress, and she's got her plate full too. And I'm sure this was the last thing that she ever dreamed of having in her life. And it changes your life. It really does. And she's got the biggest heart. She's the sweetest person. And I just really wish her the best.
Doctor, I know you're dealing with the medical aspect of things, but when you see a celebrity step up, it's got to give voice to what you're doing.
Yes, it does. It raises awareness. And I think what's great to see, too, is when they do have MS and it changes their life, but still they go ahead and lead their life. They still are full throttle with being a mom and running their business or being an actress or for people who are all over the world, and whether whatever their challenges are, they know that they can see other people. It does change their life, but it doesn't change who they are. And it doesn't stop them from doing what they want to do in many ways. Some ways it might slow them down a little bit, but they find ways to be who they are, and it doesn't change the very essence of them, which is great to see.
Mm-hmm. And then also, Sharon Osbourne, Ozzy Osbourne, the Osbourne family, they've been so vocal.
They have. Jack Osbourne has MS also, mm-hmm. and when he was first diagnosed, I got that call from Sharon. She was so sweet, but hysterical and upset, and helped him. He's doing phenomenal now. It's really great, and he's a dad with three adorable little girls, and he's doing his thing, and he's living his life, which is how it should be. They will be there that night presenting. Robin Roberts will be there that night giving the award out to Selma Blair. So that's
wonderful.
Lovely. And her best friend, Sarah Michelle Gellar, will be doing something as well. And we have such a really amazing lineup that night. We have like so many fun people. So if anybody still wants to come to Race to Race MS, they could go on erasems.org.
And how is it you tap into such great entertainment?
You just call a lot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen by accident. Okay. You really purposely make a list of who you really want to have, and you go after it. And you call everybody. It's very important. And everybody does it who's done it before, especially. I think it builds on itself. I think a lot of people have had a really great time, and it's easier to ask a second time because they've had a great time. And I think everybody who comes and donates money, their time, their talent, and auction, they feel very rewarded inside, because you're at this event that's fun, and the money is going to something very important, and you can see the results, because every year something else happens with MS research. So it's really exciting that it's happening in a fast and furious way compared to most every other disease, and it's exciting to see. And you can't help but feel the contagious excitement that we are all part of this, we're all contributing to this one big nucleus that is going to help change the course of the health of our world.
Well, what I always say to people, because they ask me about being involved in the community, just do what you do. Give what you already have. It's just so easy just to show up and be you and contribute, whether it's a business giving a gift certificate to the live auction or the silent auction. Give what you already have. And so could you just run off some of the past entertainment that you've had? Because it's just a great lineup.
We've had the best of the best. We've had Elton John, who I can never forget. He came one night, and all he wanted us to do was get his piano out of storage. And he was going to sing a couple songs. And after 10 songs, everybody was dying and thought that was the best night of their entire life.
Okay, I missed that one. I was there when Kiss performed. I'd never seen Kiss in concert.
God.
They came with a full costume, Gene Simmons with a
Kiss
tongue and all.
Kiss was amazing.
It really was.
We've had Kiss. We've had Steven Tyler. We've had Gwen Stefani. We've had, Earth, Wind, and Fire a couple times. Love them. Back in the day, we had Donna Summer, who I just loved more than anything many times. She was a good friend. Unfortunately, she passed. Every year we have somebody. We have the Eagles.
Oh, you know what's funny about Donna Summer? She also was a painter, and I bought one of her paintings at an event.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's hanging in my bathroom. It's really pretty.
I adored her. She's really pretty amazing. every year we have different people. We don't always have the same entertainment. Sometimes we have repeat ones, which we're thrilled to have them. But
You saw me last year in the front row.
Yes.
<That's> when Florida hit the stage, I was in the front row.
I know, but I think everybody's in the front because everybody's right up on that stage. Everybody's lining up and having a good time. But I love that people kind of let loose. And
it's more like a concert. I mean, you know, just like, you know how you go to a concert and you just kind of have a great time, right?
Yeah.
But I love that everybody does that. And we don't have stiff people. I don't like that feeling that everyone's like looking at their cell phone the whole night and can't wait to get out of there. And they stay till the end, and everybody's a little worried about getting a goodie bag, but there's plenty.
You do come up with a very nice gift bag.
You should see the goodie bag this year. Oh, my God. You should never leave a party empty-handed, right?
I love the way you think.
So we're really excited. Stacy Bendad at Alice and Olivia, she has this thing called the Stacy face. She has a special way she makes herself up. Anyway, she put the Stacy face on the bags this year. It's really kind of this iconic, beautiful look. So our bags this year were donated by Alice and Olivia, and wait till you see them.
You know, I just want to say, if anybody's listening who's not into galas and going to events, I emcee a lot of stuff, whether it's a small event or it's a large event. No matter the community, I try to get out to see what's happening and to meet the people who are making a difference in our cities. You know, working in news here at Fox LA, we see a lot of stuff that's very negative and very dark. But I also know that there are powerful people out there making a difference. And having tried to pull off an event myself, I know how hard it is. Just because you build it doesn't mean people are going to come and buy tickets and show up. And just the bugs that you've been able to iron out to make this a fantastic event, I really applaud you for that. It takes a lot of work to put on an event like that.
Thank you. But it's cliche, but it does take a village. And there's, you know, I have a wonderful group of people, friends who all get involved. You've seen them all at my house having meetings, and everybody just comes in their jeans and comes up with these crazy ideas, and they materialize, which is great. And that all translates into raising lots of money that's going into really important research.
Well, I believe Race to Erase, your gala, is one of the go-to galas in Los Angeles, which is really neat because it's such a fun time for everybody, and it's kind of like a reunion for those who tend to go year after year. But I'm just so moved by the day after, the next day, where you have that forum of the doctors coming together. So let's talk about that. Doctor, you'll be there as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about the forum.
Well, the forum, I think it's a great opportunity for patients and relatives, family members, to ask doctors, some of the leading people in the world, about some questions that they've got about their own situation, and that other people learn from other people's answers. And so it's just a really amazing opportunity to have so many of these experts right in front of you, just one-on-one. You can ask your own question and get some really great answers about the past of MS, the present, and also what's looking ahead in the future. So I think it's just a really neat opportunity for people who go. Mm-hmm.
It's really exciting. What happens is all the doctors, there'll be at least one doctor that represents all these great centers, and Dr. Voskuhl will be there as well. And they will each present something that's happening, and there's so much happening, and there's a lot of information. I mean, it's really like it's happening so fast and furious, which is exciting. They'll talk about that, and then there's a Q&A session. So people can send up questions and ask whatever their personal questions are about multiple sclerosis. And the different doctor who that question relates to will answer that question. Then afterwards, if you want to go up to any one of those doctors and have a personal conversation, they all stay around, and people can do that. And it's so hard to get into any one of these doctors. They're impossible to get into. So that they're all there in one shot. I mean, I'm sure getting into Dr. Voskuhl is not so easy. The doctors at Harvard, at Yale, the Johns Hopkins, I mean, they're all brilliant. They're very sought after, so that you have that moment. And it's really so nice that, you know, you can ask your personal questions. And you might just, you know, as you're listening to them all talking, everybody has different symptoms and everybody has different MS. And what one doctor's saying might really relate more to what you're going through. And to be able to elaborate and talk to that doctor about it is a great thing to be able to do.
And so this is open to anybody?
It's free. It's open to the public. It's at the Beverly Hilton. It's on Saturday, May the 11th, and it's at 10 o'clock. And you should just, everybody who has MS or a loved one with MS, you should absolutely come, because you will not believe what's going to happen.
It's a real public service. It really is.
It's just amazing to ever be able to get that much knowledge. Yeah. And most people with MS can't get into a doctor. They can't ask the questions. And it's just, every time I am there, I feel so lucky because I hear many new things that I didn't even know were happening. And I'm pretty on top of most everything that's happening with MS. And I learn so much so many new things. I think all the doctors learn a lot of things from each other. The day of the event, that's at the Hilton, the doctors will also all be meeting and presenting their latest research studies to each other. And that's an exciting time, too. But then the next day, they talk about everything that's happening. So it's a great wealth of knowledge.
Well, just at the meeting at your house where it's the introduction meeting to gear up for the gala and for this forum, you have some people there and they come with their questions. And I've seen them with their questions asking about different medications, this work, that didn't work. So I know there are questions out there. Do you find that people come from outside of California for this?
Yes. I mean, a lot of the people will be from California that are coming to Race to Race MS, but there's the forum. I think it's mostly California, but a lot of people come in buses too from the Antelope Valley and different places like that, where there seems to be a higher concentration of people with multiple sclerosis. They come in from everywhere. We have people that come to our event from New York, from Texas, from Florida, from all different places, and a lot of them are coming to sort of seek advice. They really are.
Well, with the newer diagnosis, people who are newly diagnosed, you know, it's got to be a whole new generation each time, every year coming in saying, I was just diagnosed. I don't know anything. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to say, think, feel, do. It's got to be great camaraderie for people.
No, it's so important. And, you know, nobody, when you're going through, you have MS and nobody in your family has MS or none of your friends do. It's kind of a lonely place to be. It really is. And as they say, misery loves company. It's really true. But it's just nice to talk to somebody else who can commiserate on what you're going through and you can sort of validate what you're feeling. And there's all these little quirky remedies for things. And it's kind of nice to hear, well, if I do that, I take an aspirin, I put a heating pad. I just little quirky things that just make a big difference in your life. And so it's nice to have people to relate to. Maybe share phone numbers with some people who you wouldn't have ever gotten to know other than that maybe you met them that day. And it's nice. And even for caretakers, there's so many people that have MS. The caretakers have an equally hard job.
If you love that, yes, I know.
If you love somebody with MS, it's very hard helping that person be mobile, to get dressed, to get their food, to go to doctors. And it takes away from your life. And it's nice for the caretakers to all have a camaraderie as well, because everybody's going through this. If you love somebody with MS, all of the people are affected.
I'm thinking of my brother-in-law, and he had a little brother at the time, and the husband was just, he became the caretaker. And, you know, he was a teacher, and she was fairly young when she was diagnosed. I was just thinking of the decades and decades where he was this caretaker for her. And, Doctor, when you look out in the audience and you see people there looking up at you, tell me about your thoughts.
Well, you just feel like you just want to do more. I mean, it's such a driver. It's such a motivator it just makes you so passionate about what you do when you see them. So being a physician who sees patients and also does research, I do love research because it's putting all these things together and hopefully finding cures and reversing the disease and making even disabilities better someday. But you never can replace just looking in patients' eyes. Like when I see people, I am hard to get into, but when I see them, you know, I'll spend an hour and a half because they're so smart and they have so many questions. And I just want to tell them all that I know. And it's just so moving to be able to help people, I think, in just a few hours when the research, you know, does often take years. And so I really value both so much. That personal aspect to it as well as the research.
Do you foresee a cure?
Well, we've made a tremendous progress. I'll tell you exactly what I think. So I think, as Nancy said, it's just gone from nothing to a few drugs to now over 15. So that's extraordinary. And what they have done, they have been extraordinarily effective at shutting down the immune system, or I wouldn't say shutting it down, but modifying it in a beneficial way. And that's fantastic because it reduces relapses and it's better for disabilities. And now there's an entirely new frontier that gives us even more hope, and that is, again, to target drugs that affect the brain and can reverse these disabilities and repair these disabilities. And when you combine those two, shutting down the bad part of the immune system and also going in and having new drugs to repair the brain, I think we're really going to be in a great spot. So I think there's a lot of hope.
Well, Nancy, I think that we've covered a lot here, so I'll let you all do a final thought. I love that you're combining celebrity and philanthropy, and few of us have a platform like that to make this kind of difference in the world. And that's why you are among my heroes. That I truly believe that you are just a blessing to Los Angeles. You're a blessing to the community, you know, living with MS.
You are so sweet. Oh, thank you. Absolutely. That's so kind of you.
Well, I'll finish. I'll let Nancy best for last. So I'll go next. And I'll just say, I think that people like you are a blessing, because to bring this out through the media and through outreach that you have, this makes things happen. It makes the events fill up. It makes the research go forward. And so I think that we should thank you for what you do.
Well, it gets back to, you know, with your live auction, your silent auction, we're giving with what we have. And in fact,
Have gifts.
Yeah.
And we give what we have.
That's, I feel like my gift is, if I can put that out there about that forum that's open to the public and let somebody know they are here. If you've been recently diagnosed, you've had this diagnosis for a while, you want to come together and not be alone with this, come to this forum. And that, to me, I feel like is what I wanted to do with this podcast.
That's very sweet. Thank you. Also, she is correct. For you taking the time to do this is very important for me and for so many people with multiple sclerosis, and to learn more about it. So that you've taken like all this time to just get into every aspect and detail of MS. It's I congratulate you for that.
What did
That's
I miss?
Wonderful.
What did we leave out?
I think you pretty much included everything, and we're excited. We'd said, too, there's two new drugs that got FDA approval recently, and there's something else, that there's a new molecule, synthetic molecule, that looks like it's very promising to help remyelinate, which just got reported this week. MS is an exciting disease. There's a lot happening because they know that it's fast and furious, that things are going to really happen. So if you have MS, it's nice to know that you have a disease that everybody's really working so hard to find a cure for.
And you help bring people together. So I thank you for your opening up your heart and your home and your family and your story to really be that voice for others, and coming here to Olympic and Bundy to share that story. So on that note, the website is...
Go to the Race to Erase MS, which is erasems.org, if you want to buy items or shop to Erase MS, too, that support this. If you want to go to the gala, erasems.org, it's also fine, too. And you can also find lots of information on what is going on in the world of multiple sclerosis. So thanks for advertising all of this, because it just really helps everything that we're trying to do.
Well, I'm thinking back to Tova, who probably didn't have this kind of support when she was first diagnosed, especially living in a small town in Arizona. We're really lucky here in LA to have this. So thank you all. This is my podcast, Olympic and Bundy. And you mentioned your entertainer. I just want to mention a shout out to the person who contributed my music on my podcast, because I like to support people in the community. A young man named DJ Reaper gave us our music for the podcast. So a shout out to support DJ Reaper. And stay tuned. More podcasts coming in the future. And Oscar Flores, our producer, thank you for being here.